Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Macroeconomics by Campbell McConnell, Stanley Brew, and Sean Flynn is a standard introductory economics textbook that explains how entire national economies function. Published by McGraw-Hill and widely used in university courses, it is designed to help students understand the core forces that shape output, employment, inflation, economic growth, and policy outcomes. The book belongs to the principles of economics genre, but its macroeconomics emphasis makes it especially focused on aggregate behavior rather than individual markets. Its purpose is both instructional and practical: to build a framework for reading economic news, interpreting government policy, and analyzing the links between household decisions, business investment, public spending, and monetary conditions. The text is known for its structured organization, broad coverage, and classroom-oriented support materials, including adaptive learning and graph-based exercises in some editions. As a result, it serves as a comprehensive entry point for students who need a clear, systematic introduction to macroeconomic reasoning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book frames macroeconomics as the study of economy-wide performance. A central strength of the book is that it begins by distinguishing macroeconomics from microeconomics and then defines the field through the behavior of the economy as a whole. That framing matters because it shifts attention away from single price or single firm analysis and toward aggregate output, inflation, unemployment, and growth. For beginners, this is essential. Macroeconomic questions are not answered by examining one market in isolation, but by looking at how many markets interact through spending, production, credit, and policy. The text uses this perspective to explain why changes in consumption, investment, taxes, and interest rates can alter national income. This opening approach gives readers a conceptual map for the rest of the book, instead of treating economic events as disconnected headlines. The reader learns to connect recession, expansion, labor market conditions, and price level movements within one coherent national framework. The result is a textbook that is not merely descriptive, but organized around a clear analytical lens. Secondly, the circular flow model and the logic of aggregate economic relationships. The book gives substantial importance to the circular flow model, because it provides one of the clearest ways to understand how income moves through an economy. This model shows the continuous interaction between households, firms, financial institutions, government, and the foreign sector. By presenting income as both a result of production and a source of spending, the text helps students see why aggregate demand is not a vague idea, but a measurable set of flows. The circular flow framework also prepares readers to understand leakages and injections, such as saving, taxes, investment, government purchases, and exports. Those relationships are crucial in macroeconomics because they explain why total spending can rise or fall independently of individual intentions. The textbook uses this structure to build intuition before introducing more formal models. That sequence is pedagogically important. Students first learn how the economy circulates income, and then they use that understanding to interpret fluctuations in output and employment. In this way, the model is not just a diagram, but a foundation for macroeconomic reasoning. Thirdly, GDP, national income, and the measurement of economic performance. Another major focus of the book is measurement, especially gross domestic product and related national income concepts. This is a critical area because macroeconomics depends on aggregates that must be defined carefully before they can be analyzed. The text explains how GDP captures the market value of final goods and services produced within a country, and why this measure is central to judging economic size and growth. It also connects GDP to national income accounting so that students can understand how production, income, and spending are related expressions of the same economic process. The practical value of this section is that it teaches readers how economists quantify economic activity and compare performance across time. Without these measures, concepts like recession, expansion, or growth would remain impressionistic. The book also helps students distinguish nominal from real values, a distinction that is necessary for separating output changes from price changes. By grounding macroeconomics in measurement, the text ensures that policy debates and business cycle analysis rest on observable data rather than intuition alone. Fourthly, business cycles, unemployment, and inflation as linked macroeconomic problems. The treatment of business cycles, unemployment, and inflation is one of the most important analytical sections in the book because these topics explain why macroeconomic stability matters. The authors present business cycles as recurring fluctuations in real output, employment, and income, which helps students understand that economies do not grow in a straight line. Unemployment is then analyzed as both a labor market issue and a signal of underused resources, while inflation is shown as a general rise in prices that affects purchasing power and decision-making. What makes this section effective is that it treats these outcomes as interconnected rather than separate policy problems. For example, a downturn can raise unemployment, reduce spending, and alter inflation dynamics, while policy responses may influence all three variables at once. The text therefore trains readers to think in terms of trade-offs, timing, and unintended consequences. This is especially useful for interpreting real-world downturns or policy interventions, where the same action can have different effects across output, jobs, and prices depending on broader conditions. Lastly, macroeconomic policy, models, and the role of government and central banking. The book is also notable for its sustained attention to macroeconomic policy, including fiscal policy, monetary policy, and the institutional role of government. Rather than presenting policy as an afterthought, it integrates policy into the logic of macroeconomic models, showing how taxes, spending, money supply, and interest rates influence aggregate demand and economic stability. The text typically emphasizes that policy effectiveness depends on the state of the economy and on how households and firms respond to incentives. This helps readers avoid simplistic views that government intervention is either always effective or always harmful. It also introduces students to the idea that macroeconomic policy operates through channels such as borrowing costs, credit conditions, and expectations. Because the book is designed for classroom use, it often combines conceptual explanations with graphs and structured model building, making policy analysis more accessible without sacrificing rigor. This balanced treatment is a defining feature of the textbook. It prepares students to understand both the goals of stabilization policy and the limits that arise from lags, coordination problems, and changing economic conditions. In conclusion, Macroeconomics by McConnell, Brew, and Flynn is best suited for students, instructors, and self-learners who need a thorough introduction to the structure and policy questions of the national economy. It is especially useful for readers who want a textbook that explains not only what macroeconomic indicators mean, but also how they are connected through models of income flow, aggregate demand, and policy transmission. The main benefit of the book is its systematic progression from basic concepts to measurement, cycles, and policy, which makes it easier to build durable understanding rather than memorize isolated terms. Compared with shorter or more theoretical macroeconomics texts, this book stands out for its breadth, classroom orientation, and emphasis on clarity. Its long-standing use in introductory courses suggests that it is designed to serve a wide range of teaching styles and student backgrounds. Readers who want a reliable, comprehensive foundation for later study in economics, public policy, finance, or business will find it particularly valuable because it translates abstract macroeconomic ideas into an organized framework for analyzing real economies. If you would like to support Campbell McConnell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.